Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, doing a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. For God alone I wait in silence. Truly my hope is in God.
God alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall never be shaken.
In God is my deliverance and my honor. God is my strong rock, my refuge.
Put your trust in God always, O people. Pour out your hearts before the one who is our refuge.
Those of high degree are but a fleeting breath. Those of low estate cannot be trusted. Placed on the scales together, they weigh even less than a breath.
Put your trust in extortion. In robbery, take no empty pride. Though wealth increase, set not your heart upon it.
God has spoken once, twice have I heard it. That power belongs to God.
Steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay all according to their deeds.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Siblings, the appointed time has grown short from now on. Let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus was passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
What about Zebedee? Every once in a while, when hearing this story of newly minted disciples dropping their nets, leaving their father and following Jesus, somebody wonders, how might the father feel? Often, they may not quite want to ask the question. Others do ask, what about Zebedee? Bible scholars and theologians talk about how Jesus disrupts the lives of those he encounters. This question raises legitimate concerns. Leaving one's father behind in a patriarchal system sure appears to fail the commandment about honoring one's parents. All the work, all the nets, all the fish, who will tend to these chores? Certainly for the children who received the call, the moment represents an opportunity, an adventure even. One theologian, Rob Bell, has noted that perhaps these individuals had studied Scripture as good Jewish boys would have. However, no rabbi had invited them to continue to their study, to disciple themselves to this rabbi or another. This theologian speculated that perhaps these were failed students who went back to learn the family trade. Maybe they had been yearning for something more. Imagine them wistfully tending those nets, sorting the catch, wondering what it would be like to follow their preferred rabbi. Could they have been daydreaming another reality? Maybe they had heard something about this Jesus guy. They may have heard stories of his movements, of his teaching, his announcements of the reign of God come near, his invitation to repentance, the rumors that this Jesus fellow announced a different kind of repentance that invited people to live into a new understanding of God's love, healing, and forgiveness. Perhaps Zebedee knew all too well that his boys were feeling the sting of rejection, daydreaming a different call, hoping to meet Jesus. Maybe Zebedee was ready to let them go. Maybe Zebedee saw it as an honor that his kids would receive this call. Maybe not. On Thursday of this past week, Mary Stroyfert came to St. Louis to offer a day-long class focusing on language for God. Indeed, on her book from a couple of years ago by that title. Working through biblical text and Luther's writings, and from social statements of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, she articulates a vision for worship and language that is both inclusive and expansive. Among her theses are three that hold particular witness. One, because Lutheran biblical interpretations are not literalistic and are Christ-centered, language for God is faithfully multigendered. And justification by grace through faith disrupts human efforts and rules that create and reinforce damaging inequity and hierarchy. And Lutherans are evangelical. We proclaim so that people may take it in and digest it. Stroyfert encourages reclaiming the imaginative creativity that Scripture represents. She points to imagery both in Scripture and in art over the centuries that shows God, and particularly Jesus, in ways that cross and blend the hard binary boundaries of sex and gender. Biblical witness opens the door to understanding and seeing God even as female. Then a member of a former congregation came to mind. He wanted to be welcoming and inclusive. He was mindful of how many younger members of the community could easily cross boundaries that he experienced as solid and impermeable. His question kept coming up, what about my parents and grandparents? If I say yes to this, am I saying they were wrong? Looking to the biblical witness and Christian art through history, one might recognize ways that thought and perspective has narrowed, has constrained imagination in word and in image in recent centuries. This member's concern about not disrespecting his grandparents and his parents was his own form of, what about Zebedee? Maybe Jesus invites disciples into a new reality where both can be true. Lutheran theology seeks to embrace both and as often as possible. Perhaps Jesus invites disciples today beyond the binary constraints of recent understandings, embracing more expansive language, more expansive imagery. This church has the opportunity to proclaim in such a way that more people, especially women and girls and those who know themselves on the non-binary reality, people who need to hear the good news in a way they can take in and digest. Maybe, just like Zebedee, forebears of today's church have known all along of the need to let church move forward, let the next generation live into new realities. Renewed understandings of the expansive and inclusive truth of God's love for all people. Jesus called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. Jesus calls you. Follow him.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.